Hello, today is December 7th, 2018. We are with the OAO2 50th Anniversary Story Gathering Project. This is Avery Pilot with the University Archives, and I'm here with Qichao Wu. All right, Qichao, if you have any stories or would like to tell me about how OAO2 helped launch your career, feel free to let me know.
Okay. Yeah, what started when I was an undergraduate at University of Tulsa, and during my junior year, there was a flyer from Dr. Jastrow at Columbia University, and they are trying to get the undergraduate students interested in space science. So they have this Institute of Space Physics in Columbia University, and which was at that time, the institute was directed by Dr. Robert Jastrow. He's a big name in the beginning of NASA. And so I apply, and I guess they select me as one of the students to participate in the space summer institute in space physics. And it began with like 6 weeks of coursework. Talk about something about the principles of rockets and the meteorology and some astronomy, some space science like the radiation belts and so on. And then after that, the institute chartered a DC-3 aircraft, and they flew us all over to the NASA centers. And so at that time, I gone through all the NASA centers: Marshall Space Flight Center, Goddard Space Flight Center, Langley Space Flight Center, and Kennedy, well, at that time maybe it's Cape Canaveral, and Space Center. So I went there and was so impressed with the NASA work. I said, "Gee, I really wanted to, do the kind of space science that NASA was doing." So at the time, I told myself, I said, "Well, in order to work on space science, I've got to learn astronomy." So I applied to several schools to go to graduate school in astronomy, and Wisconsin is one of them. And Wisconsin accepted me, offered me most money. So I came to Wisconsin, and now at that time I did not realize Wisconsin is working on OAO, working on OAO. I just say, I was told Wisconsin a good astronomy department, so I came here, so I got my PhD in 1972, and then shortly before that, when I was finishing up my thesis, Dr. Arthur D. Coe came to me and said, "Charlie, do you want a job?" I said, "Yeah, Professor Coe, I didn't have a job, so I can use one." So he said, "Okay, after you get your PhD, you can go to Goddard Space Flight Center to work on the OAO2." So when I applied to Wisconsin, and I did not realize Wisconsin is already plugged in to NASA, already working on the space programs. I didn't know that. I just this is a good astronomy department. So I didn't re so when I got my degree, I said, "Wow, I'm being plugged in directly to NASA. That's exactly what I want to do. I went to graduate school for." So that's and so I started working at OAO2, and spent a year at Goddard, and then when the OAO2 essentially died at the time, and the department or the space lab asked me to stay at Goddard for another year to wrap things up. So I came back to Madison back in 1973-ish. In fact, my son was born in Madison. So I came back in 1973. Then I got a letter from a University of Groningen in the Netherlands. And now and when I was a Goddard working on OAO2, a scientist from the University of Groningen Space Research Lab, his name is Dr. Paul Vesalius, came because they are working on another space satellite, and they want to come to learn how OAO2 operates, and so what they need to know, you know, what they have to do in order to operate their satellite. So when Dr. Vasilius was here, you know, we, Al Holm and I helping, and you know, and how various requirements, operational requirements for the satellite. So he went back to Holland, and then in 73, you know, I got a letter from him, and he said, hey, you know, Dr. Wu, you know, we'll be launching our ANS satellite, which is an astronomical Netherlands satellite, in a little over a year. Would you be interested coming over and help us out? And he said, great, you know. And, so I went to Holland to work on this ANS satellite, which is a joint mission between the Netherlands and NASA. And I was here 1974, 75, 76, and so until they shut down the mission. So I came back to this country in December 1976. And at that time, when I was about to come back, I called, you know, I know the Goddard astronomer, Don West, and he was an old Wisconsin graduate, and he's an operations scientist for the International Ultraviolet Explorer. So when, before I came back, when I was in Holland, I wrote a letter to Don. I said, Don, hey, you know, I'm coming back to the United States. Do you have a job at Goddard, which I can have? He said, oh, yeah, you know, we're hiring for, you know, resident astronomers for the International Ultraviolet Explorer. And so as soon as I land in New York, I called Don. I said, Don, I'm here in New York. Can I come to see you? He said, yeah, sure, coming down. And so I went to Goddard. He introduced me to a fellow named Ed Greville, and he interviewed me. And at that time, I didn't quite appreciate Ed was from Computer Sciences Corporation, so it's not really, you know, civil service, but it's a, you know, it's a NASA contractor. So he interviewed me, and it went well, I guess. Eventually, you know, a few days later, I got a letter from CSC, Computer Sciences Corporation. I said, you know, dear Dr. Wu, I would be pleased to offer you this job, you know, and so on. So I said, okay, now I realize what's CSC. So it's starting this on such and such date. So I came to Goddard and started working on IUE. And I was a resident astronomer in IUE, then I guess I did a decent job, and they promoted me to be a team leader, then to be a section manager. And so I was at IUE from 1976 to January 1982. And then at that time, back in some time in 1981, Dr. Arthur D. Coe was the director of the Space Telescope Science Institute. You know, he's a you know, founding director of the Space Telescope Science Institute. And I guess a CSC, you know, I was in IUE at Goddard, but CSC also has a contract, because CSC wrote the proposal to NASA with AURA, which Dr. Coe was the president at the time, and to compete for a contract to operate the Hubble Space Telescope at the Space Telescope Science Institute. So at that time, Dr. Coe already started as a you know, founding director, and so I went to in 1981, I went up to Baltimore. That was the Johns Hopkins University campus. So I went up to the institute to help out in the CSC's work for a little while. Then I came back to work on IU, to finish IUE. Then in January 1982, and I started working full time, working for the Space Telescope Science Institute. At that time, Dr. Coe is already left, and then Dr. Giacconi took over as a director. So I worked there in January 1982. And then that's very early, you know, development phase. We do software, you know, we do operational concepts, and we do, and eventually, you know, working on the ground system and all that. And we were there from the very beginning, and we built the GuideStar selection system, and we do the data processing system and so on. Anyway, so I was there, and slowly moving up in my corporate, in the CSC corporate, you know, I went there as a section manager, then became a department manager, then became an operations manager, then became a project manager, and it became a project director. So I had a, and I was, you know, and then eventually when the Science Institute also got the JWST, I also, my employees and all that also work on that. So I was there at the Space Telescope Science Institute from 1982 to 2010 until I retired. So I just want to point out, OAO2 is the first science mission I worked on for the University of Wisconsin. Without knowing at the time, OAO2 launched my long career in space science from all the way from, I guess I started with OAO2 in 1972 and all the way to 2010. I was lucky enough to work on the space science, the field I loved, I won, and was my goal when I was an undergraduate student. And so I got a long career there, and a long career, and I also quite successful getting research grants, so I got a chance to do a lot of research and publish 69 refereed articles, you know, in Astrophysical Journal, Astronomical Journal, or Astronomy and Astrophysics. So I was able to do the, you know, operations support work and also the, my research work. So I got a very, very satisfying career, and all thanks to OAO2. You know, it got me started, and, you know, as I say in the beginning, I didn't realize OAO2 is just, you know, is really launching my career, you know, to in the area I really want to do. And it turns out it was a very satisfying career, and I'm really grateful to Dr. Code and to OAO2 to give me this opportunity to really do the things I like and also have a good career.
Wow, that's wonderful. It's great to hear about how OAO2 really helped you as a catalyst for your career. Do you have any additional stories from your time at graduate school at UW-Madison, or from when you were studying astronomy here?
Well, story was just, you know, it's during that time, I guess the campus, the students were quite radical. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a lot of protests against Vietnam War and all that, come to the point that they bombed the Sterling Building, because Sterling Building also housed the Army Math Research Lab, and, you know, in the lower floor, so the astronomy department was up in the fifth and sixth floor. And in fact, that bombing was pretty severe. One postdoctoral fellow was killed, and one of my classmates' thesis was burned, our department's library was just severely damaged. The glass shards just went straight through hard copy journals. And so very, very fortunate for me that at that time I was visiting my girlfriend in Toronto, because I, you know, when I was working on my thesis, I used the laboratory office, the laboratory facility up on the roof, right next to the planetarium. And when I came back, because I was working on my thesis, I spent every night there. You know, I spent every night there, and I go home at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'll be there, you know, after dinner about 8 o'clock, until 2 o'clock, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm sure that if I you know, if I were in town during that time, you know, I'll be in that laboratory space and working on my thesis. If I were in there, you know, for that bombing, at a minimum, I think my eardrums would be gone. Mm-hmm. And if not, I probably lost my life, because when I came back, I saw the metal door of that office bent, totally bent.
Wow.
So the pressure was just so huge. If I were in there, I think my eardrums would be gone.
Wow.
If not taking my life. So that was a big event.
Wow.
And a big event. And so I was lucky, and thank God. And another thing was, 1 year I was doing my, in fact, I may be the only student that used a 36-inch telescope in the Pine Bluff Observatory. And because I did my ground-based observations there, and getting all my ground-based data, and then my other half was using the OAO2 data for my thesis. And so I spent a year there, and in the observatory, you know, when the weather's good, sky's clear, I go up, fly up the telescope and did the observations. And when the weather's bad, it's cloudy, I went back downstairs, close up the observatory, went downstairs and have a beer. So it was a good life. But the thing is, on the way from the department, the Stirling Hall to the observatory, it come through the, well, at that time it's all farm area. There's no shopping center, no nothing. And I would get a smell of a dairy farms all the way out there.
Yeah.
All the way out there. And then the observatory is right on top of a dairy farm also. So I got to smell that all day, I mean, all night. So, you know, it's quite an experience that I never forget.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I had a great fun. What a department, you know. Dr. Cole, you know, Dr. Bless, and, you know, Dr. Savage was my advisor, and Dr. Mathis, and you know, such a great professors. I really, you know, I really appreciate them. And, you know, especially Dr. Cole, you know, he, in fact, another story was that after my student visa ran out, at that time, this country doesn't need any more scientists. So I was told, we don't need any more physicists. We don't need any more scientists. Well, you have to leave the country in 30 days. And so Dr. Cole immediately called up local congressman, you know, Mr. Kastenmeier, and he said, hey, you know, I have a student here. He's the one of the only three people in this country who can fly OAO2, right? So he's really critical to us. You know, can you help? You know, he's got a visa problem now because his student visa is expiring. Can you help him out? And Mr. Kastenmeier's office called me immediately. He said, coming over, talk to us. You know, tell me about yourself. You know, we'll work on your visa. And I went there to the Mr. Kastenmeier's office in U.S. Congress and talked to his chief of staff. And everything is taken care of. You know, and about a few weeks later, I got a letter from letters of from the letter from the immigration department. Say, hey, you know, we are canceling this previous letter that say, you know, you have to leave the country. You're okay. You know, we'll be processing your permanent residence application. So they took everything care for me. So, you know, I'm very grateful to Dr. Cole. You know, help me get my permanent residence, because, you know, my student visa ran out. So, you know, it's a Wisconsin, you know, not only helped my career, but also, you know, helped me, you know, get my green card. And also, I, you know, as I said, my wife and I were married at Nina, Wisconsin, and my son was born in Madison. So all in all, you know, myself and my family are really grateful what Wisconsin had done for me, and what OAO2 had done for me.
Wow, that's wonderful to hear. Do you have any final thoughts or final stories or anything that came up that you'd like to share?
Well, I just say, you know, I just can't say enough how you know, how great the department Wisconsin is. You know, from my old days and also up to date, you know, I read in the journals and all that, all the publications and things done by the professors here is really, really is a top rate, number one, you know, to me it's number one department. So, you know, it's, you know, all, you know, to me, all the smart guys should come here to Wisconsin.
Wonderful.
They will have a good career.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, hearing all of your stories.
Glad to.